When the Gera Rebbe, when the Imre Emes, I told some of you, when the Imre Emes, when the third Gera Rebbe, the son of the Svas Emes, would get up from his Purim Suda, so he used to literally, as he would stand up from his chair, standing up from the table, he would recite the first Mishnah Maseches Pesachim. As he got out of his chair, he would say, Or la arbasar boidkin esachametz lor aner, because he wanted to connect immediately the Yom Tov of Purim and Pesach, like we learned a little bit on Purim Katan. The Gemara says, Mismach Geula leGeula, Adif. We try to attach the two Geulas, the Geula of Purim and the Geula of Pesach. It's also the reason, if you look in Rashi, in Tanis Daf Chavtes, on the words, Mishnechnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, Rashi says, Mishnechnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, Rashi says, Yemei Purim u Pesach. Mishnechnas Adar, who said anything about Pesach? But obviously Rashi also is alluding to the fact that there's a strong link that has to exist between Purim and Pesach, between the end of the calendar year and the beginning of the calendar year. Nisan, of course, being the first month according to the Torah. Okay, so let's learn the first Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim together. Okay? It's on the top left corner of the page, it says Shin Yud Aleph. And in the middle of the page is the Mishnah. There's a lot of commentaries, as you can see on the side. I did that on purpose because I want to take a look a little bit at some of these commentaries. Okay, so it's in the packet in front of you, it's the fourth page. Okay, let's just read the Mishnah. First, let's just read Pashup Shat, let's learn a Mishnah. Kvalduk Schus, just learn a Mishnah. Yehuda Nasi, learn a Mishnah. Or la arbaasar bodkin esachametz laor haner. Or la arbaasar, on the night of the 14th. Of course, the Seder is going to be on the 15th of Nisan. The night before that, on the 14th of Nisan, or la arbasar, or is a funny way to say Lila, we'll see why. But or la arbasar, on the night of the 14th, bodkin esachametz laor haner. We search for chametz by the light of a candle, by the light of a ner. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Now turn to the back page, because the back page is out of order. So literally the back page of the stapled... Kol makom, just continuing in the middle of the page. Continuing the Mishnah. Kol makom she'ein machnisin bo chametz, ein tzarech bedika. Okay, rule number two. Any place that we do not bring chametz into that place, so let's say a bathroom. Jews don't eat in the bathroom. So therefore a bathroom doesn't need to be checked for chametz. Now of course the halacha says that if you have little children who bring chametz everywhere, so you need to check everywhere. But if it's just a young married couple, you and your spouse, yeah, you know that there's no little kids running around bringing chametz pretzels into the bathroom, right? So you don't need to check the bathroom for chametz. You never ate in the whole year. You never ate in the bathroom. You never brought chametz in the bathroom. So any place that one does not bring chametz does not require checking. V'lama amru shtei shuros b'martef. So why do we have a teaching that tells us that you need to check shtei shuros, two rows of the martef, of the wine cellar. The wine cellar, you don't eat in the wine cellar. The wine cellar is just a room, a location, a space where you keep bottles of wine. So the Mishnah answers, makom shemachnisin bo chametz. Well, you do have some wine cellars where you sometimes do bring chametz. So you're right, typically many wine cellars will not need to be checked. But the fact that we have a statement that you should check two rows of a wine cellar, because there are some wine cellars, as we'll see from the Mefarshim, where we are concerned that maybe you did bring chametz. Okay. Concludes the Mishnah. Beis Shammai, turn the page, just turn back one page. Beis Shammai, o shtei shuros al pnei kol hamartif. Beis Shammai says you need to check two rows over the face of the entire wine cellar. We'll explain in a couple of moments what that means. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Shtei Shuros Hachitzonos Shehein HaElyonos. You only need to check the two outer rows, which are also the top rows. Okay, we'll have to see exactly what that means. Okay, let's turn back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Let's learn the commentary of Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura. Classic commentary on the Mishnayos from about 500 years ago. Okay, turn back to the beginning of the Mishnah. And you can see on the right-hand side, it says Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, right alongside the Mishnah. On the left-hand side, it says Tosfos Yom Tov. Okay, so we're going to learn on the right-hand side, Rav Avadia Mibar Tanur. Or La'arbasar. Everyone see where I am? If you don't, please ask. I'm happy to help you. Okay, just go back to the beginning page of the Mishnah, page Shin Yud Aleph. And Rav Avadia Mibar Tanur is on the right-hand side of the page. Or La'arbasar. Leil Shalamacharaso Ye'arbasar. What do the words Or La'arbasar mean? It means the night that tomorrow will be Arbasar, meaning the night that precedes the 14th. Again, by the Jewish calendar, we start the day at the night. So when nighttime arrives, it's the night of the 14th. It's the beginning of Erev Pesach. It's the night that precedes the Seder. That is the time to check for chametz. V'korei hatana l'layla or. Why did the author of this Mishnah use the most ironic term for night? Or, light, that's the antithesis of night. The Tana referred to Laila as Or, Kederech Shekorin Li'iver Sagi Nahor. The same way we call a blind person Sagi Nahor, full of light. Again, a blind person is the opposite of full of light. He has no light. He lives completely in the dark. V'lishna ma'alya nakat. And it's a more elevated way of speaking. It's a more elevated way of speaking. Is saying the word Laila a dirty word? Is that a curse word? Is that a word that we as Jews shouldn't say? Laila? Why? Because it's dark? Because the Gemara in Bav Metzia says that Olam Hazeh is compared to night? And we're Olam Haba? We're focused on Olam Haba? Like, what's so bad about the word Laila? If you look at the Rambam in his commentary on the page, you see right under the Bar Tanur and the Tosfos Yom Tov, it says, Perash HaMishnayis LaHarambam. You see? So the Rambam says, it's three lines and three lines. Look at the left three lines. And look at the middle line, where it says, Nikra Laila Or, Kemosha Korin Dvarim Harve Bahafchan. We call night light, as we do in Talmudic language, we refer to a lot of things by their opposite. V'kivein bazeh kedei ledaber b'lishna ma'alya. And in doing so, we speak in a refined way. Okay, continues the Rambam on the back page. Mamish, the back page. Also in the middle of the page, you see, Perish Mishnayis la'Rambam. V'lo tihyeh psichas ha-sefer b'shem heder min ha-adarim ratzalomar layla. We don't want to begin a sefer. We don't want to begin a new masechta. With what? With hedar. With emptiness. With a void. Laila. Laila is it's dark. It's not clear. It's a time of hedar. A time of what? Of inaction. It has all the connotations of something scary, something inactive, something lazy, something sleepy, something frightening. Right? Ratzalomar Laila. We don't want to start the masechta. Again, especially a Masechta that's named for the ultimate Geula, Yitzias Mitzrayim, you don't want to start with the word Laila. In fact, we know about the Seder, the Navi refers to the night we left Mitzrayim as Laila Kiyom Ya'ir. It was a night that was completely illuminated. Right? The Jews, the night when the Jews were preparing to leave Mitzrayim was filled with light. Okay. So we didn't want to begin, the Rambam says it's not proper to begin the Masechta with the word Laila. So we used a euphemism for Laila, we called it Or. Okay, it's a deep idea. Let's come back to the Bar Tanura now, back on the beginning page. So says the Bar Tanura, Bodkin es hachametz, Is de mafarshi taima de bedika, kedei shelo yavur al bal yera u bal yematze. Some explain that the reason we do Bedikas Chametz, however, this is the first Mishnah Psachim. Why do we do Bedikas Chametz? Why are we charged with searching our homes for Chametz? Is that a Din D'Oraisa? Does the Torah say search? The Torah never said search. What does the Torah say? What does the Torah say about Chametz? You have two Psukim. You have a Pasuk in Shemos Perek Yud Beis. You have a Pasuk in Shemos Perek Yud Gimel. Right? The Torah says what? The Torah says in Perek Yud Beis, Shivas Yamim Su'ur Lo Yimatzei Bevateichem. It says in the 12th chapter of Exodus that Seor, leaven, should not be lo yimotzei, should not be found in your house. Exodus chapter 13, Shmos Perek Yud Gimel, what does the Torah say? The Torah says, lo yera'el lecha chametz velo yera'el lecha seor b'chol gvulecha. Lo yera'el, you shall not see it. It shall not be seen. Lo yera'el, it shall not be seen. Okay? So says the Bartanura, why do we do bedikas chametz? So he makes reference to the two psukim. Again, look at the words. Ista mafarshi taima de bedika. Some explain the reason for the bedika. Kedei shelo yavur al bal yera'e ubal yematzei. That you shouldn't be in violation of what? Thou shall not see. Chametz shall not be seen. Ubal yematzei. And chametz shall not be found. So how am I going to make sure that no chametz is seen in my house on Pesach? Search it out. How am I going to make sure that no chametz is found by accident? Oh, I thought I got rid of the chametz. I guess I should have searched better. Okay, so we say, search. You should search. And that way you won't see any chametz. You won't find any chametz. Im yeh chametz v'beis of a Pesach. You won't be in violation of these two psukim. Chametz shall not be seen. Chametz shall not be found. Okay? This is the opinion of Rashi on the first daf of Maseches Pesachim. When he says, Istam afarshi, some explain. This is the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says, the reason we do bedikas chametz is so that we don't have any trouble on Pesach. We don't find any chametz, we don't see any chametz. Now, continues the Bartanura. Hold on a second. Isn't there an easier way to get rid of my chametz than getting down on my hands and knees with a candle or a flashlight and searching under the bed and behind the door and here and there? Isn't there an easier way to make sure my chametz is not my chametz? Va'af al gav dibitul ba'al masagi. Even though, says the Bartanura, that what? In theory, it should be sufficient to what? Just be mevatel the chametz to declare it what? It's not mine. It's ownerless. And that's what we do say. Do we not declare, when we do bedikas chametz, do we not declare that the chametz that I don't know about is ka'afra da'ara, is like the dust of the earth? It's not mine. So why do I need to search my whole house to get rid of the chametz? Why can't I just say, any chametz that I might, you know, encounter over the course of Pesach, not my chametz? Do I have to cover my eyes if I walk down the street and I walk past a non-Jew eating a pretzel? Do I have to cover my eyes? When the Torah says, no chametz shall be seen, what does that mean? Jewish chametz. Non-Jews can eat their pretzels. I'm allowed to look, right? So maybe I can do the same thing in my house. The fact that there's still pretzels on my shelf, yeah, but I declared them bittul. They're not my pretzels. Why can't I just do a bittul? So he says, va'af agav do a bittul ba'al masagi, even though really just negating the chametz should be enough to deal with this prohibition. Chayshinan, why do we have a bedika then? Why are we kovei a bedika? First halach in Hilchos Pesach. Search for chametz. Why do I need to search? Why can't I just say, oh, my chametz is not my chametz anymore? Chayshinan, we're concerned. Shema yimsa gluska yaf yafa. Maybe you'll find a beautiful loaf of bread. V'yimloch al bitulo. And you'll regret that you were mevatli. You'll say, ah, such a chaval. Chaval to not own such a beautiful loaf of bread. Right? You forgot you had this beautiful, fresh French bread. And now it's Pesach, and you see, you open up the cavity, you see, well, it's not really mine, but chaval, I kind of wish it was mine. No? V'yachshov alel l'ochla, and he'll what? All of a sudden, he'll be tempted by that bread. He'll want to eat it, or he'll want to own it. V'yavr alav al bal yiro, val yimatzei. And in that moment, right, he'll succumb to that temptation of the gluska yafa, the beautiful loaf of bread, which he himself, just before, said, no, it's not my bread, it's not my bread. But now he encounters it on Pesach and he can't resist. So therefore, you know what Chazal said? Bedikas chametz. Get the chametz out of the house. Get rid of the chametz. Bot kinesa chametz. Get rid of all the chametz. We don't want the chametz there. Hilkach bot kinesa chametz kedei levaro min ha'olam. Seek out that chametz and destroy it from the world. We don't want it around. Ah, technically it would be enough to just say, I don't want the chametz. Yeah, but if it's still hanging around, you're asking for trouble. That's the opinion of Rashi. Ve'is da'amri, and there are those who say, this is the opinion of Tosfos, time de bedika, the reason that we have a bedika, gezeira shema yimtza chametz v'beis of a Pesach, v'yochlenu. We're concerned that what? Maybe you'll find chametz on Pesach, and you'll actually what? Come to eat it. Now, is this different than Rashi? So let's clarify Rashi a little bit. Rashi didn't say you're going to come to eat it. Maybe I played into it a little bit too much. Right? What's going to happen according to Rashi when he finds that beautiful loaf of bread on Pesach? He's going to reacquire because he's going to regret having been mevatel it. He's going to say, chaval that I don't own this. I can control myself. I'm not going to eat it. Right? He's not going to eat chametz on purpose on Pesach. He's a good Jew. But a little bit in his mind, he's starting to negate that original bittul chametz, that original negation of the chametz. So he's going to reacquire it in that way, or at least he's going to be in violation of what? Of seeing it, of wanting it. Again, he's not going to eat it. Tosfos, the second opinion, which is the opinion of Tosfos says, no, Chazal had a different concern. Chazal were concerned that maybe what? Let's say, I leave a cabinet full of pretzels, but they're not my pretzels. I was mevatel them. Yeah? So it's Chol Hamoed Pesach. You went for a walk with your family. It was a nice day outside. You went for a walk. You went to the park a little bit. You come back and you're hungry and you're looking for a snack. You open up the cabinet. You pull out a pretzel. You make a mezonos. You start to eat it. And you say, what am I doing? It's Pesach. You're not a bad Jew. You would never do that on purpose. But you're used to eating pretzels. You know why? Because you eat them all year round. So says Tosfos, you know why Chazal made a bedikas chametz? Get rid of the chametz because what? You're so used to eating chametz, it's hard for you to what? To change your ways. Because if you don't get rid of it, maybe you'll find some chametz in your house on Pesach, v'yochlenu, and you'll eat it. Kevan she'ein ragel lios bodo mimenu. Kol shar yamos hashana. Because you're not accustomed to distancing yourself from it the rest of the year. Yeah? Let's say you opened up the fridge. Yeah? And you saw a lobster in there. So you wouldn't accidentally come to eat it. You never eat lobster. But pretzels you always eat. So you open up the cabinet, you find some pretzels. For a moment you forgot that it was Pesach. You were just hungry, looking for a snack. You forgot these pretzels don't even exist. They're batel. I was mevatel them before Pesach. Okay, but you accidentally come to eat them. So Tosfos says that's why we do bedikas chametz. We're worried that what? That in a moment, if the chametz is around, even if it's not yours, we're scared you're going to come to eat it. You're not going to grab the pretzel out of the non-Jew's hand as you're walking down the street. That's not your concern. But chametz that's too close to home, since you're used to eating it all year round, we're concerned that you're going to come to eat it. Okay? Let's continue. Lo'or haner, turn the page. Lo'or haner continues the Bar Tanur. Now we're on the back page again, because the last two pages are out of order. So go to the very, very last page. Lo'or haner explains the Bar Tanur, top right-hand corner. Bigamara Yalif de Bedikas Chametz Sricha Shetihe Laor Haner. This Gemara appears in Psachim and Daf Chesam al Aleph. The Gemara teaches us that Bedikas Chametz requires the light of a candle. How do we know that? Midichsiv Hacha Saor Lo Yimatze. The Pasuk says, leaven shall not be found. V'ksiv hasam, and it says in Bereishis Perek Mem Dalid, v'yimatzei hagvia. And they found the goblet. Remember the scene? The goblet that was hidden in Binyamin's sack. Okay, so we find the word finding where? We find the word finding in the context of chametz. You should not find chametz. And we find the word finding by the search that was done to find the goblet in Binyamin's sack. So ma mitziya ha'amura sham al yidei chipus, just like the Torah is very clear, that how did they come to find the goblet in Binyamin's sack? Because the pasuk says, what? Shenemar, vayichapes vayimatzei. They searched and they found. So too here, where the Torah says, you shouldn't find chametz on Pesach. Well, how do I find something? By searching. So how do I avoid finding on Pesach? By searching before Pesach. Okay? Interesting drasha. So af metziah murakan al yedei chipus. So when I dafka try to search for chametz, the way that I find chametz is by searching. Okay, nu. So where's the light? Who says you need a candle? Ah, v'chipus have a bener. And searching requires a candle. How do you know that? A pasuk in Mishlei. This is all the Gemara. It's a strange Gemara. It puts together all these psukim. The Torah says you shouldn't find chametz on Pesach. And we see from when the brothers searched Binyamin's sack, it says vayichapes vayimatzei. They searched and they found. And then we have a pasuk in Mishlei that puts searching in the context of light. So you put it all together. So when you search for chametz, you need a light. Wow. Fancy. V'chipas havi b'ner d'chsiv ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the soul of man. Chofes kol chadre vaten. Hashem searches all the chambers of one's inner world. Hashem checks you inside out. Okay. V'tiknu habedika b'layla b'vnesha b'layla kol ha'am mitzuin b'vateyam. And why were Chazal koveya that the bedika should be done at night? Why not do bedikas chametz during the day? So there's two reasons, says the Bartanura. First of all, kol ha'am mitzuin b'vateyam. People are found in their houses at night. It's practical. People go to work during the day. At night, when everyone comes home and the family is gathered into the house, so that's a much more practical time to be koveya bedikas chametz. More than that, when does a candle work best? By day or by night? By night. When it's dark, the candle illuminates the areas better. So you'll say, what do you mean? But by the light of day, I can see much more. Right? That the candle has the ability to shine light and to reflect something that might be hiding, more so than just a room filled with light. Again, you're used to this. You don't notice things that are there the whole time. How many people know that there's a full set of Talmud Yerusha on that shelf, right by the window? You noticed it ever? It's been there the whole year. You ever once it? No. But if we shut off the lights and walked around with the candle and I said, notice things in the room, you'd notice, is that a Talmud Yerushalmi? Who knew? Okay, so there's something about searching at night as the ability to see better, in a sense. And searching with a candle is better at night than by day. And then he quotes the Talmudic phrase from Maseches Chulin, Dishraga b'tihara l'may mahanya. A candle by day, how does it help? It's a rhetorical question. In other words, it doesn't help. If I lit a candle in this room right now, it doesn't really add very much. If we shut the lights and we lit candles, that would, practically help us. The light would be of practical benefit. It would create a different environment in the room. Right? So two reasons we search at night. People are home, and because the candle can accomplish more at night. But if you didn't check, let's say for some reason you forgot to do bedikas chametz on the night of the 14th like you were supposed to. So when are you supposed to do bedikas chametz? If you didn't do it that night, you can do it the next morning. Right? That morning, Erev Pesach. You should still do bedikas chametz. That's a Mishnah in the first parak of Pesachim. And when you do your bedikas chametz during the day, should I use a candle or should I say it's pointless to use a candle at that point? So the halach is clear, and the Bartanura is quoting it. If you didn't check at night, and you're going to check shachris, tzarech sheyivdok nami l'or haner. You need to also check by the light of a candle, and that is the halach in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Lamed Gimel, chapter 433 of the Shulchan Aruch. If you didn't do bedikas chametz at night, you do bedikas chametz by day, and yes, you still use a candle. Okay? And then the Mishnah taught us that what? You should check two rows in a wine cellar. Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. I'll just tell you halacha l'maisa. We paskin obviously like Beis Hillel. And there's actually a machlokas Rav and Shmuel how to check two rows according to Beis Hillel. What did Beis Hillel say in the Mishnah? Two rows, which are the outer rows, which are the top rows. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Have a picture like this for a second, okay? I need you to picture this. Yeah? Instead of using wine barrels, right, just picture soda cans, okay? So imagine that I made a row of 10 soda cans, okay? Can everyone picture it? A row of 10 soda cans, yeah? Okay, now I made 10 rows of 10 soda cans, yeah? Flat, 10 rows. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Okay, a square on the floor of 10 by 10 soda cans, okay? Now I stacked on top of each can, 10 cans, okay? So we have a 10 by 10 square, and then there's 10 layers of it. Okay? Everyone picture it? You can picture my soda cans? So how many soda cans do we have? How many? 1,000 soda cans. Okay, we have a square 10 by 10. So each row, each slab, so to speak, is going to be 100 cans. And now we have 10 stacks of it. Okay? According to Beis Hillel, right, if that's your wine cellar, so to speak, let me just add one more point. When do I bring bread into the wine cellar? Right, the Mishnah assumes that you don't have to check a place that doesn't have chametz. So why do I have to check a wine cellar? So the Gemara distinguishes between a wine cellar that's just used to store wine and maybe to sell wine versus a wine cellar that a person uses during his meal. What does it mean he uses it during his meal? He'll send his servant down to the wine cellar if they run out of wine during the meal to go get another bottle, bring up another bottle of wine or bring up another barrel of wine. So sometimes what will happen is the servant himself will be munching on a sandwich. So he'll take his sandwich and he'll go down into the wine cellar and he'll put down the sandwich, he'll put down his plate with the sandwich on top of one of the barrels, and then he'll pick up this big barrel and he'll bring it back up the stairs and he'll have left his lunch in the wine cellar. So wine that's being accessed during a meal, we're concerned that you may have walked down into the wine cellar with some food in your hand. The main staple of main food was bread. So we're concerned you left bread down there. Again, if it's just a wine cellar that's used to sell wine to the public, but you never access it during a meal, then you don't need to check such a wine cellar because there's no chametz there. But a wine cellar that's accessed to replenish wine, which again was a common drink during a meal, so you would have to check that wine cellar for chametz, okay? But again, now go back to the picture of the... So what does it mean when Beis Hillel says, Shtei shuros hachitzonos shehena elyonos? It's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. I'll just tell you how we paskin. We paskin like Rav's presentation of Beis Hillel, which means what? Okay, so you're picturing my big box of soda cans? Yeah? According to Beis Hillel, how we paskin, Rav's understanding of Beis Hillel, again, it's a machlokus, Rav and Shmuel, what Beis Hillel meant. We paskin like Rav's understanding of Beis Hillel. Checking the top two rows, which are the outer rows, means the following. Picture yourself standing in front of this, again, all these cans, yeah, or all these barrels. Okay? So the wall, the first row in front of you, yeah, 10 by 10, right, that's called the what? That's called hachitzonos, the outer row. So you check, shtei shuros hachitzonos, shehein ha'elyonos. So what do you think that means? Of the face of that big pile of cans, yeah? You check what? This is the face, the part that's facing you. You check what? The top two rows. The shtei shuros ha'elyonos of the chitzonos, right? I don't have to check the bottom can because if I put that, if the guy put his bread down anywhere, where did he put it? He put it maybe on top of one of the barrels or maybe... You know, he put it, if he pulled out that top barrel and then it fell on top of the next one. You don't have to check on the floor. Okay? You have to check the top of the section that's facing you. You check the top two rows. So if it's 10 rows deep, 10 rows tall, you check just the top two rows that are facing you. That's the only place you would need to check for chametz. That's the opinion of Beis Hillel. Again, not so halacha l'maisa for us. In terms of, most of us don't have wine cellars that we access in this way. But again, conceptually, it's important to understand the rule, which is what? Which is when it comes to bedikas chametz, you have to check any place that it's reasonable to assume there might be chametz. Okay? That's more or less a synopsis of the first Mishnah. Again, there's a lot more to see. But that's basically the first Mishnah. We have a basic understanding of bedikas chametz in the first Mishnah Psachim. Okay? Now turn back to the beginning, the first page of what I gave you today. And now I'm going to introduce you to an awesome sefer. Amazing sefer called Musar HaMishnah. Okay, Musar HaMishnah was written by a Yid named Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsberg. He passed away in 1946. Originally a Russian Yid who became a Rav in Denver, Colorado. Okay, so if you open up to the title page of Musar HaMishnah here, it says, Me'es HaRav Yehuda Leib Ben Rav Dov Ginsberg, Rav Beir Denver, Colorado. Born in 1888, passed away in 1946. Chaf Zayin Tishrei is his yard site, Tafshin Zayin, 1946. Okay, he wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Yalkut Yehuda. He wrote Musar HaNeviim. If you've ever seen that sefer, it's easier to find. Musar HaMishnah is very difficult to find. You can see I have this old edition that was printed in the 1930s. Okay? Amazing Yid. So on four sections of Mishnayos, Zra'im, Moed, Nashim, and Nezikin, he wrote these massive volumes, taking the just halachic statements of the Mishnah and learning a lesson from it. It's an awesome sefer. It's really an awesome sefer. Okay, so I want to learn the first Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, now that we learned it, the basics, Al Pi Halacha, so now let's learn it, Al Pi Machshava. Okay, it's a beautiful blend of Halacha and Machshava, of Musar. Okay, not so much Chassidus, but Musar. Okay, so let's take a look. Or La Arba Asar Bodkin Asachametz La Orhaner. V'Isa Al Zeh B'Gemara. D'Lokach Lotani Leal Arba Asar Mishum D'Lishna Ma'alya Naka. Like we saw in the Bar Tanura, why does the Mishnah not use the word Leal or Laila? Why does it use the word Or? It wanted to choose a Lishna Ma'alya. Again, an elevated speech, elevated language, more refined language. The Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, La'olam al yoytze adam davar miguna mipiv. A person should always be careful, what? Not to allow a repulsive thing to leave his mouth. A Jew speaks in a refined way. Chavid, do you think it's by chance that the first Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim starts off teaching us about proper speech? After all, the essence of the Leil HaSeder is what? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is telling a story. Kol Amar Bele Saper Hareza Meshubach. The mitzvah of Higadat Levincha. Pesach, the very words. The Arizal says Pesach is Pesach. Peh, a mouth, sach, that speaks. That's what the Yom Tov is about. The Koach HaDibur. The Sefer Yetzirah says the action for the month of Nisan, every month has an action associated with it, the action for the month of Nisan is what? Dibur, speech. So the very first word in Maseches Pesachim teaches us, Lashon Naki. A person needs to speak in a refined way. If you're going to be using your mouth so much on the night of the Seder, both for what? For eating the matzah, and drinking the wine, and eating the maror, and speaking the story, your mouth should be a holy thing. Your mouth should be clean. The Teferes Shlomo, the Rebbe of Radomsk, the Rebbe of Radomsk says that when the Torah says that the matzah and the Karim Pesach should be eaten in a makom kadosh, right? You should eat the matzah in a makom kadosh. So what does it mean? Makom Kadosh doesn't just mean that the place should be holy, right? But where's the matzah going? In your mouth. So your mouth should be Makom Kadosh. You should eat the matzah in a Makom Kadosh. Make sure your mouth is a Makom Kadosh. So as we prepare ourselves for Pesach, we have to be a little bit more careful about how we speak. Again, the Gemara says in Megillah and Daf Yud Gimel that Haman was the greatest Baal Lashon Hara. I told you once, Esther is Gematria Lashon Hara because Esther is the antidote to Lashon Hara. Esther guards her speech so much, she won't even tell Achashverosh who she is. He won't even say where she comes from. That's part of the preparation for Pesach. To make sure our mouths are pure, our lips are pure. That when we eat the matzah, and when we tell the story of the awesome salvation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, our mouths are a holy place. Okay, so it's not by chance that we begin the Masechta in that way. Okay, so it says of Yeshua ben Levi, La'olam al yotze adam davar maguna mipiv. A person should never say what? A davar maguna. An improper thing, an impure thing. Sharaikim hakasuv shmona osios v'lohotzi davar maguna. And how do we see this? How did Hashem teach this to us? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach us to speak in a refined way? Because it says in Bereishis, Perek Vav, when Noach is preparing animals for the Teva, Mina behema hatahora, umina behema asher einana tahora. What a nice way to speak. Noach took pure animals, and animals that are einana tahora. Why not just call them animals which are tame, impure? I call them animals that are not pure. That's a longer way to speak. The Torah was prepared to write 8 extra letters. To write Asher Einena Tahora is much longer than to just write the word Tame. But the Torah, where every letter counts, was willing to what? So to speak, Hashem was prepared to spend a little more on ink in order to make sure that we learn the lesson of what? Of sensitive speech. Good question, not for now. But the first time when the Torah was introducing us to pure animals and impure animals, the Torah, instead of saying pure and impure, the Torah said pure and, you know, and not pure. That's different than saying tame. Einena tahora is different than saying tame. Tame is a dirty word. We don't use tame. We use a more refined way of speech. Okay? So again, so we avoided the word Laila in the opening Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim. Explains the Musar HaMishnah in the second paragraph, V'nira lomar, demasha amru kan shalaila hu lashon she'enu nekia. That which we're implying here, that the word Laila is an impure word, is not a clean word. Zeu lo rak v'vnei shalaila hachoshech sholit. It's not the simple understanding that night is a time where darkness dominates. Sholeit means dominates. Where darkness rules. Elam apnei shebalayla ein zman shel mitzvah. Think about it in a spiritual sense. Not just in a physical sense that more crime occurs at night than by day. Think about it in a spiritual sense. Many more mitzvos are daytime mitzvos than nighttime mitzvos. Kamosha ein makriven karbanos balayla. We don't bring karbanos at night. Karbanos are brought by day. The Torah says, biyom zivchachem. Right? V'ein mitzvah tefillin. Tefillin's not a nighttime mitzvah. Tefillin's only by day. V'tzitzis. No, again, but tzitzis is a daytime mitzvah. Therefore, yesh v'shlita shel choshech ruchani. There's a spiritual darkness. The fact that there's so many mitzvos that are daytime mitzvos. Shofar by day. Lulav by day. Again, the chiddush is that we read the Megillah also at night, in addition to day. The chiddush is that we have a Seder at night. Right? But most of the life of a religious person is done by day because daytime is a time to be active. And therefore, some of our holiest mitzvos can't bring karbanos at night, can't wear tefillin at night. Tzitzis is not a mitzvah at night. Lulav, shofar, they're not nighttime mitzvos. Ulafichach amru kan. Kevin sheba mitzvos hanoagos ba pesach hamitzvah rishona shei maschilim ibalayla. So therefore, what? He says a beautiful pshat. In addition to, again, what all the other Rishonim and the Gemara is already saying. We didn't say Laila because Laila is an unholy word. Laila has a negative connotation. He says, but think about this night. The night that we're describing. The night that we're bodkin as a chametz. The mitzvah bedikas chametz is when? Ideally when? By night. So therefore what? What happens when it's a night that has a mitzvah? Again, usually night, we don't like the word because it implies a time of less mitzvahs. But what's our feeling when we come to the 14th of Nisan? It's a night we're excited about. You know why? Because we get this unique opportunity, a special nighttime mitzvah. A nighttime mitzvah. Ah, so look what he says. So therefore, when we come to this night, we begin the Yom Tov of Pesach, and we begin with a mitzvah at night. Kamosha amru kan, shemitzvah bedika hi balayla. Bedikas chametz, which is dafka, meant to be performed at night. You know why the first word of Maseches Pesachim is Or La Arba Asar? Again, Laila is usually negative because it's a time of less mitzvahs. But on this night, we have a special mitzvah. It's a unique night. It's not like a typical Tuesday night where we feel like, oh, night is a scary time spiritually. On this night, it's a gevaldic opportunity spiritually. I can do a spiritual mitzvah that I get to do once a year. I make a bracha once a year. Bedikas chametz. So on this night, there's extra what? There is extra light. So therefore, Chazal, picking up on that, referred to this night as what? Or la arba asar. Because there's extra light. What does it mean there's extra light? Dichsiv kiner mitzvah vitora or. It's an illuminated night. On this night, the mitzvah itself illuminates this night. And therefore, it's not just that we're avoiding the word Laila, we're dafka highlighting to us, tonight is special. Tonight's a unique opportunity to do a mitzvah at night. And that we continue over the course of Pesach. Right? We come to the Seder, and we do, according to one calculation of the Vilna Gaon, 64 mitzvos in one night. 64 mitzvos, d'oraisa and d'rabbanan, in one night. Night's usually a time where there's less mitzvos. But again, it's a Laila Kayom Ya'ir, to quote the Navi. It's a night that shines like day. Because it's, what do you mean it's a night that shines like day? It means that kiner mitzvah v'torah or. The mitzvahs that we're doing illuminate the night. Okay, so that's what Chazal are hinting to in the opening word of Maseches Pesach. Okay, go to the next piece. Again, on the same words, or la'arbasar bodkin eslachamitz l'or haner. Okay, second to last paragraph on page 222. However, we just learned this Gemara. We didn't realize that we learned it. But we learned it because we learned the Bartanura's commentary on the Mishnayos. That's why it's so important to learn Mishnayos. With Bartanura, you get the whole Gemara. Not the whole Gemara. You get a lot of the Gemara. Hinaisa alzebe Gemara psachem dafav. Habodek tzarech shivata. We need to do bedika, and we also need to do bitl. You need to negate the chametz, declare it ownerless, declare it worthless, but you also need to do bedika. Why do I need to do both? Why can't I just make it ownerless? Okay, so we already saw two explanations, Rashi and Tosfos. V'ne'isa al-zeberan, the Ran explains, ha-bitl hu midin hefkerhu. What is bitl? What does it mean, bitl? Bittul means declaring it hefker, declaring it ownerless. Va'afa gav de hefker ki hai gav no lo mahani. And even though what? Hefker in this way doesn't really work or shouldn't really work. What does that mean? Vishum da amrina begamara de mevatlo belibo. Hefker doesn't really work in this case because he's just being mevatel it in his heart. Ubevadai dilainyan hefker mamona or hefker belibo lo mahani didvarim shabalev enam dvarim. The fact that what? The fact that he has to make a mental decision to what? To not have anything to do with it? Really, that shouldn't work. Dvarim shabalev, the thoughts of the heart or the thoughts of the mind don't really carry weight in halacha. Yeah? Hacha shani, but here it's different. Here when he just thinks to himself, I don't want this chametz. That's enough to make it hefker. You know why? Hachashani lefisha eno b'reshuso shel adam. Because if you remembered, we learned in Bava Kama that there are two things that a person sort of owns even though he doesn't own. Anyone remember what those two things are? One is chametz on Pesach. Right? The chametz is, God takes it away from you. So it doesn't really matter if you call it hefker or not. Jews cannot own chametz on Pesach. That's a halachic reality. Hashem says your chametz is not your own. So you have to just sign off on that a tiny bit by saying, in my mind, I agree. What's the other thing that's yours and not yours? A bor b'shus harapim. You dig a pit in the middle of the street. It's not your street. So in what sense is it yours? If someone gets hurt, they pay for it. Pay for damages. Okay? How does that work? Again, we happen to do a verbal declaration also. But if I were to just think to myself, the chametz is not mine, that would be enough, technically. Why does that work? Explains the Ran, because your chametz is being taken away from you anyways, by God. Hashem takes away the chametz. Right? Lefisha eino b'reshuso shel adam, ela she'asu ha'kasav ki'ilu hir b'reshusay. It's not really yours. Hashem says, you cannot own chametz on Pesach. Hashem declares that reality, whether you like it or not. The same way you're Jewish, whether you like it or not. It's as simple as that. A person says, no, I'm not Jewish anymore. You can say whatever you want. You can call yourself the Pope. You're a Yid. So the same thing. A Jew's chametz on Pesach is not his. Hashem takes it away. At the same time, you're held accountable for it until you agree to Hashem. You have to say in your mind, I agree. It's not mine. I don't want it. U'mishem hachi begiloi daito ba'alma. So just by revealing his intent, delo nichale, that he doesn't want it, by making it clear that I don't want anything to do with this chametz, that's enough. Okay? Okay, so if that's enough, why do we do bedika? So we gave two answers. Maybe you'll find a nice loaf and then you'll change your mind. Maybe you'll accidentally come to eat chametz if you leave it lying around because you're used to eating it all year round. Fine. Good. That's the Gemara and that's the Ran's explanation of the Gemara. Says the Musar Mishnah, Ma Mishnah Deep Yisod. Listen to this, Chavre, this is deep, and it connects us back to something we learned on Purim. Bottom paragraph. V'nira lo mar b'zeh od tam. Dinei ha de hefker belev lo mahani. that which Hefker, why does Hefker not work? Why can't I just think to myself, I want something to be Hefker and that's enough? Why doesn't that work? Zeh mishum da'amrinan, dechol zman, shelo hotzi, bisvasav, bifnei edim, shehifker. Because we say that until a person has stated, bisvasav, with his lips, bifnei edim, in the presence of witnesses, that this is Hefker, efsher shelo gamar, belev gamor, lafkiro. We're concerned he's not 100% there. Why can't I just make something Hefker in my heart? It's mine. I decide in my head it's ownerless. I don't want it anymore. Why do I have to say it? Because we're concerned that if you're just thinking it, maybe you're not 100% there. Maybe there's a part of you that's still holding on to it. That's in general why Hefker doesn't work just in your mind. Why a person who wants to be mafker something has to do a more formal process of declaring something not his. Because a person, it's the nature of a person to have many thoughts. Ach ein elu dvarim shel kayama. But sometimes you have a fleeting thought. Right? One second you decide you don't want the object, the next second you say, you know what, actually I could use this object. So in order to formalize the process, we say, you want to make something Hefker? No problem. Declare it Hefker. In the presence of people who heard your declaration. That way it's really Hefker. Ki kashem shem olam kach em yotzim. Right? Just as they go up, they go down. They go in, they go out. You can change your mind too quickly. So that's why we don't trust the thoughts of your heart. But now, what are we saying on Pesach? What are we saying? What did the Ran teach us? The Ran teaches us a unique situation. Here, it is enough to just think it. Why is it enough to just think it? Well, because Hashem's taking it away from you anyways. Meaning the Torah is kind of leading you along. And now you just have to put the finishing touches on by what? By agreeing to what Hashem is doing. Aval kan kaven the mitzvah ka'avid, but here where you're doing a mitzvah, talinan shemisha mafkir belibo hu osa kain belev gamor. When a person is doing a mitzvah, because here, again, if I have an old sweatshirt, yeah? I have an old sweatshirt from my high school hockey championship. Right? And I say, you know what, it's time to get rid of this old sweatshirt already. So I decide in my head I'm going to make it Hefker. Right? But then I say, you know what, but it's a nostalgic feeling. I wore this sweatshirt in high school and like it doesn't fit me anymore and it's like all beat up, but I want to like... Right? So we're not sure if you... We don't trust your ability to make up your mind. Do you want it or not? So until you verbally declare Hefker, we're not convinced that it's Hefker. We're convinced you still want it. Here you're doing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to get rid of chametz. Hashem says, I'm forcing you to get rid of the chametz because I'm making it not yours regardless. And therefore, when it comes to doing the mitzvah, if you think to yourself, I want to do the mitzvah, that's enough. We believe that you did the mitzvah wholeheartedly. That's enough to have a gemiras hadas. Why? Why? Look at the words again. Last paragraph, four lines in. Aval kan kaven de mitzvah ka'avir. Talinan shemisha mafkir belibo hu osa kain belev gamor. But when you're doing a mitzvah and you had the right thought, we believe that what? We believe you had the right thought all the way through. Why? Lefichach yesh mamashus l'machshav azu. And therefore there is mamashus, there's substance to this thought. If it's just an optional thing and you thought maybe I want to get rid of it, we're concerned maybe just as quickly you'll change your mind. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah, if you had a thought to do the mitzvah, we take that thought seriously. You know why? Sharei kvar bir harambam perek beis megerishim. Because we know the famous words of the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Gerishin, Halacha Chaf. Dilakach efshar lebeis din lakof adam sheyigarish es ishto. Why can beis din beat up a guy to give his wife a get? If a get has to be given willingly. Remember this Rambam? We learned it on Purim. Even though a get has to be given what? Willingly, he has to choose to give a get. And now we beat him up and he says, Rotzani, I want to give the get. And we say, okay, good, it counts. Why? Maybe he'll change. A second later, he says, no, I didn't mean it. So why do we take seriously when he says he wanted to do what's right? Because that's the mitzvah. And every Jew deep down inside wants to do a mitzvah. So when it comes to getting rid of just stam an item, an old chair that you want to put out on the curb, until you've declared it hefker, we're not sure if you've really parted ways with this old chair, this old sweatshirt, whatever the item may be. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah, as soon as you've shown a little bit of an interest, we say, that's the real you. We take that seriously. Therefore, when you beat the guy up to give his wife a get, and he says, I want to do the right thing, he meant it. Like the Rambam taught us. Why was he hesitating to give a get? Because his Yetzer Hara was getting in the way. So we're beating up his Yetzer Hara. And he says, Rotza ani. Then we take that Ratzon seriously. Okay? So now, so watch this. He says in the last four lines, V'inei im bizman chutzav ve'yach v'omar she'ein hu rotze lasos k'fi din ha-Torah amrin an shiritzona p'nini hu lehefech. So when he's screaming, I don't want to give a get, I don't want to give a get, I don't want to give a get, what do we say to such a Jew? Not true. Deep down inside, you want to give the get. When he's screaming against Torah, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, we still override him and say, no, it's not true, you do want to do it. So all the more so in what? All the more so in our case, where what? Where he thinks to himself, what? I want to get rid of the chametz. Right? Here he's not fighting. He said, I want to do what's right. I want to follow the Torah. The guy who's screaming against the Torah, we say, nah, you also want to follow the Torah. All the more so, this guy, who's what? Imkein, bevadei shemi shemachshavtu, he lasos kafi mitzvah satorah. So this person, what? Who does want to get rid of the chametz? He wants to keep the Torah. So then, of course, that's who he is. The guy who says, I don't want to do the Torah, we say, he's a liar. The guy who thinks, I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, we take that machshava seriously. So says the Ran, really it's enough, what, when it comes to chametz, to just think. I don't have to. Normally, by hefker, the Ran says, you need to make a declaration, because it's optional. But when you're just putting the finishing touches on a mitzvah, right, we trust that as soon as you have that machshava, I don't want to own this chametz that Hashem is telling me I can't own. V'osa kein b'leiv gamor, he's doing it with a full heart. V'lo ba'inan lazeh lo shum dibur v'lo shum edim. You don't need dibur. You don't need a verbal declaration. You don't need witnesses. We take him seriously. His thoughts are on a higher level when it comes to just completing this mitzvah. Okay, turn to the top of the next page. Just a couple more minutes. V'kvar biro b'zeh mad'isa b'shilhi chagiga. And with this we can understand the beautiful Gemara at the end of Maseches Chagiga. The Gemara in Maseches Chagiga says such a beautiful thing about the Jewish people. It says, Poshe Yisrael Muleim Mitzvos Kerimon. Anyone know this Gemara? The sinners of Israel are filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate. How do you understand that Gemara? So, usually we explain it, even the worst Jew does a lot of mitzvos. He's full of mitzvos. He may be full of averos also. But even the worst Jew does many mitzvos. He's full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. Dichsiv, the Gemara brings a pasuk. Kepele harimon rakaseich. Right? Rakaseich means that you're like your brow. Your forehead. Right? Again, the two lovers in Shir HaShirim, he's describing very romantically all the parts of her body. Very delicate work, Shir HaShirim. Yeah, so he says, Kapela Harimo, and like the split in the pomegranate, so is your brow. Right? So is the appearance of your face. So the Gemara Darshan's Al Tikri Rakaseich El Reikonin Shabach Malaya Mitzos Karimon. Don't read the word rakaseich, which means your forehead, your brow. Rather, read it what? Rakaseich as reikonin, empty ones. That even the empty ones are kapela harimon, are like the split of a pomegranate. Meaning what? That even a Jew who's an empty Jew is full of mitzvahs. Okay, so they ask the question, so why is he called an empty Jew if he's so full of mitzvahs? Okay, good question. But Chazal say, Poshe Yisrael are maleim mitzvos karimon. So says the Musar HaMishnah, let's understand this Ma'amar Chazal carefully. He says in the third line, V'nei kasha, imko tovim heima, v'pnei ma heima nikron b'shem posha Yisrael. If they're such good Jews, so full of mitzvos, so why are they called Poshei Yisrael, sinners of Israel? They do so many mitzvos, they should be called tzaddikim. Beinonim. Not Poshei, sinners of Israel is a harsh word. Why are they called sinners of Israel if they're so full of mitzvos? Ubiyaro bezeh. Dekan lo nemar osin mitzvos karimon. Says the Musar Mishnah, it doesn't say what? Such an important distinction. It doesn't say that they do mitzvos, as many as the seeds of a pomegranate. They don't. That's why they're called Poshei Yisrael. They do a lot of averos. They don't keep Shabbos, they don't wear tefillin, they don't eat kosher. They do averos all day long. So what do you mean they're filled with mitzvos? They're filled with mitzvos like a pomegranate. Right? So he explains. It doesn't say that they're osin mitzvos karimon. Bishom de'elo ha'poshim b'vadai lo makayim mitzvos apol. They don't do the mitzvos actively. Elenemar meleim mitzvos karimon. What does that mean? They're filled with what? The potential of mitzvos. Like a pomegranate is filled with juicy, sweet seeds. Because deep down inside, that Jew, who does averos all day long, his neshama is bursting with a desire to what? To do mitzvos all day long. So he's filled with that potential he wants so badly and deep down inside to do mitzvos. Hainu sheyesh bem netios tovos v'ratzon yafa l'kayim es kol mitzvos shel Torah. Deep down inside, he wants to do every mitzvah. His neshama is begging, please, Shabbos, kosher, tefillin, taras ha-mishpacha, the neshama is screaming. But the Yitzhara blocks that spirit, that pure spirit within, from ever emerging. And therefore, they're just like a pomegranate. A pomegranate on the outside, if you look at the skin of the pomegranate, it's actually usually pretty beat up, you know? It's actually kind of, it's kind of ugly looking. Like, okay, it has a beautiful red color, right? But if you look at it carefully, it has a lot. It's not the most beautiful fruit. You know, you draw a picture of a pomegranate, so you make it a shiny, smooth red pomegranate. But if you look at a regular pomegranate, they're usually not so beautiful on the outside. You look at each little seed of a pomegranate; it's mamish niflaus habore. Obviously, they sparkle, no, shining. But the outside of a pomegranate, it's not so beautiful. Umareyu kadaver koshen. It's a very hard. A hardened, you know, skin to the pomegranate. She'ein bo shum tam v'reach, and the outside of the pomegranate, it's like, you know, it's harsh. It has no flavor. It has no smell. It's not the fruit at all. Rakish poschinosab, when you crack it open, azira hagarinim shabo she'ish from tam v'reach, you see the sweet seeds inside, that are what, that are filled with flavor and filled with smell. Cain, Elu, Poshe, Yisrael, so too the sinners of Israel. So if you look at a Jew on the outside, sometimes he looks like a pomegranate. Right? No smell, it's a hardened appearance. Ein mar eim ola yafa, the appearance is not so beautiful. Aval misha yesh v'kocho lachdor l'toich oimek nafsham, hu yiras ha-shefa ha-rav, shal tchunos v'she'ifos tovos ha-nimtzalos shema. There's all sorts of beautiful things that are there within. And again, a person who looks deeply will recognize that. So therefore, now we understand, again, look how every halacha is megala, a deep secret. If Hashem says, I'm taking away your chametz on Pesach, Hashem says, I'm leading the way. That's what all of Yetzias Mitzrayim was. It was all Hashem. It was Yisarusa de la'ela. It was all coming from above. We weren't worthy in Mitzrayim. Hashem made miracles for an unworthy people. All we had to do is what? Is follow along. Lechtech achar b'midbar. Follow Hashem into the wilderness. And that was a big deal for a slave nation on the 49th level of Tumah. Right? But Hashem leads the way. Same thing when it comes to getting rid of your chametz. Hashem says, I am taking away, I am confiscating all chametz. All I need you to do is what? Is to join me in declaring it ownerless. And by declaring, Hashem says, all I mean is what? A ratzon tov. To be megala, the feelings of your heart. Ah, on a regular day, says the Ran, that's not enough to make something hefker. Right? Because on a regular day, it's not a mitzvah. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah, if a Jew just shows a little bit of an interest, we say, that's the real Yid. That's who he really is. That's where he wants to be. Okay? What do you say, Chavir? Do one last piece, or you want to stop? I know there's two more on the page, but I'm definitely not doing two. I would vote for one. Let's do one. Can we do one more? Okay, so go to the bottom of page 223. Let's just do the last paragraph on page 223 and then a little bit on 224. Okay, again, same words of the Mishnah. Look how much he's pulling out of one little Mishnah. By looking into the Mefarshim and the Gemara, and it shows you that every Rishon is also this Apnimius. Or Larbas or Bodkinas Achamitz Loran here, bottom paragraph. Hine Kamo Shibbidikas Chamitz Beinion, Shetehe Bidika Loraner. Just like when you search for chametz, which we know is synonymous with the Yetzer Hara, you have to do so by the light of a candle. There's another type of searching that's similar to this. Another searching requires a candle as well. If a person sees that they're going through a lot of suffering, a lot of struggles, if a person says, why do bad things keep happening? What's going on? Investigate. Search out your ways. Pishpesh velo matza. If you search and you don't find anything that needs fixing, yitleb bebitul Torah. So make it dependent upon bitul Torah. Meaning assume that the bad things that are happening to you are because of what? Because of bitul Torah. Okay? So if you're going through a tough time, you should make a cheshbon hanefesh, you should search out your ways, and if you don't find anything wrong, you should assume that bitul Torah is the cause of your suffering. V'nei kvar hikshu ha-mefarshim hazeh. Many mefarshim asked, I don't understand. Dim yesh litlos sheyesh biyado avera shel bitul Torah. So if we're going to say that a person, what? Has the avera of bitul Torah, so heich amru shepishpesh v'lo matza avera shel biyado. So what does it mean? He doesn't have averas. You're telling me, if you have trouble, you should search your ways. So he searches his ways and he says, I'm a perfect Jew. So we say, okay, so you should assume that the reason for what? That the reason for your suffering is bitul Torah. So if you really have bitul Torah, so why didn't you find that in your initial search? Why didn't you find that? Apparently you have averas. So what does it mean, pish pish below matzah? What do you mean you search and you didn't find? Why didn't you realize you had bitul Torah? Why do we have to tell you it was bitul Torah? Va'anira lomar de'inin bezehu came. So we can explain as follows, he says. Dinei kamoshu b'bedika schametz be'inin ha'bedika tiel l'or haner, v'imlav einzo bedika. Just like when we search for chametz, we require a ner. And we learned that even if you miss the nighttime bedika and you search by day, you need to use a candle. Kein be'eis sha'odom bodek b'maisav, im ein behem dover ha'asr. Sarachu livdok as zek neged haor. So too, when you do a cheshbon nefesh, you need to do it by the light. What light? You can't sit in a dark room? I don't know. I think sometimes people, when they sit in the dark and they think about their life, they probably come to deeper thoughts than if they sit in a room filled with light. What light are you doing a cheshbon nefesh or checking your soul by? Va'or hayafal azeh hi ha-Torah. The Torah is the candle that we use to check ourselves. Kedichsev kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Uvisha sheyesh biyada adam or ha-Torah. So when a person has a lot of Torah in his life, az yimtza takeoff, turn the page, at sad ha-pogum shabo, page 224. So if a person has Torah in his life, then he's able to find what's wrong. Says the Musar Mishnah, you know what happened here? Here's what happened. This guy's going through a tough time. Yeah? And he says, I don't understand. Why is God being so hard on me? What did I do wrong? So he sits down and he makes a cheshbon nefesh. And he sees, I don't do anything wrong. You clown, you don't do anything wrong. How much of the Shulchan Aruch have you read? You don't do anything wrong. You don't know anything about Torah. You don't even know what's expected of you. So of course you don't think you did anything wrong. So if you don't think you did anything wrong, that's the biggest proof that you don't know Torah. And therefore, yitla b'bitl Torah. Go learn Torah, and then come back and check yourself out. Go learn what Torah says about tikkun hamidos. Go learn what Torah says, right, about what davening is supposed to really look like. Go learn what Torah says about what a relationship between a husband and wife is supposed to look like. Go read what Torah says. And then come back and tell me you don't have anything to work on. If you don't think you have anything to work on, it's only because you don't really understand what Torah expects from us. So therefore, if a person doesn't find anything that's lacking in him, that means he's not checking by the right light. He's not checking it against the Torah. Check yourself against the Shulchan Aruch. Check yourself against the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Check yourself against Shas. Check yourself against Tanakh. If you don't know what's in those books, then it's kind of hard to know how I'm doing as a Jew. I don't know what God wants. There's a lot of rules I never even heard of. All right, Hashem will give you a pass for a period of time. You got to learn the books. If you don't know how to read them in Hebrew, read them in English. All right? Go read Mesilas Yashar. How does a Jew live his life? If I don't know how a Jew lives his life, of course I don't find anything. Oh yeah, I'm doing great. You don't know anything what's expected of you. And the only way a person comes to have such a powerful flashlight that he can really check himself out is if he works hard in Torah. But if a person doesn't want to work hard, if you're not going to sit and really steig over Bava Kama, so you're not going to work hard, you're not going to know what God wants from you. And you'll keep giving yourself a free pass all the way through life. We find in the Medrash, why was David a melech punished? That he forgot a pasuk? Because David in Tehillim called Torah songs. You think Torah is just a bunch of songs? Bunch of nursery rhymes. Torah is hard work, David HaMelech. Now David was saying it's a beautiful song, but you cheapened it. It's much easier to memorize a song on Z100 than it is to memorize a daf of Bava Kama. Torah is not a song. What do you mean? Kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. It's a song. Torah is called a song. Hashem, you yourself called it a song in the Torah. But David HaMelech was punished. Don't call my Torah a song. Torah is hard work. People need to know that it's hard work. Hashem says to David HaMelech, you called my Torah zmiros hayu lichukacha. Amru la HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Divrei Torah shekasav behen hisayif einecha bo ve'einenu ate koras on zmiros. About my Torah, which it says in Mishlei, with the blink of an eye, you can forget everything. And you call it a song? A little song that gets stuck in your head that you can never get out of your head? So many sugyas you've learned, you've totally forgotten them. It's not a song, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of chazara, it takes a lot of effort to make sure that you acquire the Torah in a deep way. So Hashem said, I'm going to punish you, David HaMelech, by making you what? That you're going to forget a simple pasuk. And that's what happened. David forgot a pasuk. I'm going to cause you to stumble in something that even little kids know. As the pasuk says, ulubnei kahas lo naslan ki avodas hakodesh aleim b'kosef yisau. That the aron was meant to be carried by the Leviim on their shoulders. V'iyu asya ba'egla, and you brought it on a wagon. How did you forget that pasuk, David HaMelech? It's because you didn't take Torah seriously enough. You called my Torah songs. The Mefarshim explain, what's the idea of carrying the Aron on our shoulders? Why couldn't we use a wagon? Other parts of the Mishkan were transported with wagons. Why is the Aron, which has within it the Torah, why does it have to be carried on one's shoulders? U'biru ha-Mefarshim. Sha'inin b'zehu l'fisha amru b'medrash. Hatam shall nesia sa'aron b'kosef. The reason we carry the aron on our shoulders. Because they lo'odia she'ina Torah niktas el b'yigia rabba. Because the Torah is heavy, you got to carry it. You got to be prepared to lift it and put it on your shoulders. Carry it on your back. U'v'nei shalo yada ha'davar hazeh ba l'chlal to'os. Lo'omar sha'atorah hu davar kal. Ve'eina el ha'kazemer ba'alma. And because David didn't appreciate that, and he called the Torah a song, David HaMelech forgot this pasuk. He forgot what Chazal are hinting to. He forgot what it means to carry the Torah on our shoulders. The weightiness of Torah, the responsibility of Torah. Hare dami shehu lomer Torah b'li yagia. It's like a person who lomer Torah, b'li yagia. Vahave be'ein av kedavar shel zemer. Like a person who just, you sing your way through Torah. Hu asu lichashu gam b'dvar mayosa pshutim. Such a person will come to forget even the simplest things. So therefore, oral arbas or bodkenes achametz lo aner. You want to check your yetzahara. You want to see how you're doing as a Jew. You need a candle. Just like bedikas chametz, you need a candle. Even you check by day, you need a candle. Why? Because it's hinting to us. If you want to check your soul, you need the light of Torah. There's no way for you to assess how you're doing if you don't learn Torah seriously. If you're casual about Torah, you're just going to think you're doing fast. Vahu bedin bedika isa brama tough lamed gimel seif yud aleph. The Ramah paskins. Look at this. This is a great point to conclude on. Dechol adam tzarech lechabed chadarav kodem habedika. before you do your official bidikas chametz, you need to clean up. That's not just a practical thing, you know, your mom tells you to do. That's a halacha. Before you do the official bidika, you need l'chabed chadarav kodem bidika. You need to sweep the rooms. L'chabed means to sweep the rooms. Why? Look how he explains it. Such a deep idea. V'atam efshar lomar. De'becheder she'eno naki, e efshar lahargish es ha'perurin ha'ketanim shal chametz ha'mufuzarim besocha. Because when you walk into a room that's not clean, that's not neat, right? The room sometimes is such a mess that you don't notice the little crumbs. Okay? But what happens when a person picks up a broom? If I walk around my kitchen with a broom, even the kitchen looks pretty clean, but I walk around with a broom and I start just, you know, sweeping here and sweeping there, before you know it, all of a sudden, what? I have a little pile. Whoa, I didn't realize how dirty the floor was, right? Because it was hard to notice the crumbs until I started, what, collecting them. Until I started sweeping them together. When I started to clean up the room and straighten up the room and sweep the room, then I become sensitive, what? To the smallest crumbs. It's like a white shirt that's so clean and so crisp, and it gets the tiniest, tiniest little drop of wine on it. It's the tiny, that tiny little red dot. Right? You notice it. You know why? Because now everything else is clean. If the shirt is, you know, a big mess, so you don't notice the little things. But once you straighten up, now the little things come into focus. So when a person comes, what? To now, to clean himself up. So at first, he doesn't notice all these little things. He's such a mess, he doesn't notice little things. He has so many big things sometimes that he doesn't consider the little things. We do this a lot, Chaver. There's a particular aveira that we're focused on that I feel like I really need to work on that. And I'm so hyper-focused on that I don't realize. I speak too much Lashon Hara. Or I'm too involved in this, or I'm too involved in that. Or my davening's really not what it should be. But I'm so focused on this other thing that I do that I don't even realize that, you know what, I really need... We learned a piece like this in Sichos Haran, if you remember. I don't realize that, wait a minute, there's something else I also really need to work on. So therefore, look how Bedikas Chametz tells us. You need an Ora. You need a candle of Torah. You need to sweep up those little crumbs so that they don't get overlooked. Straighten up the room. Get down to the littlest crumbs. Right? If a person cleans himself up at first, he deals with the big mess. He gets rid of all the big things. And then he starts sweeping up the little crumbs. He says, those also count. That's also chametz. A little piece, I know what that is. That's a half of a Cheerio. I can recognize that. That's real chametz. Right? He wouldn't have noticed it if the whole place was a mess. So then I'll come to recognize the small pegamim of the soul that also require fixing. Okay, so this is the first Mishnah, Maseches Psachim, a lot to think about. And b'ezras Hashem, we should be zocheh to rid ourselves of all chametz, big and small alike. Shkoyach.